Bibles to John chapter 12 and stand together with me. John 12. Is everybody there? Say amen. Okay. John 12. Let's read our text. It's three verses, beginning in verse 34, and we'll read to verse 36. So follow along the best you can as I read out loud. The Bible says, "The people answered, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?' they said. Then Jesus said unto them, 'Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth.'" That seems to me to be like sort of a common sense thing. Walking in the dark, don't really know where you're going. So it's a tremendous analogy Jesus uses. 36, our final verse for our text, says, "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them." Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings this morning. Help us to be reminded of the great truth that we'll study, that it might inspire us to be obedient to you in faith. Take the step, Lord, that you're leading us to take, whatever that may be. So we need to hear from you today. I need you. Your church family needs you. And anyone who's watching online, Lord, they need to hear from you. So I pray that you would be magnified this morning, preeminent, and we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Title this morning is "You're Running Out of Time." I think as we go through this, you'll find that it's appropriate. Running out of time is something that we often are doing, especially if you have tasks or projects that are on your schedule. How many of you, if you would be honest this morning, would admit that you're a procrastinator? Anybody? Yep. I don't see enough hands. Yeah. I don't know that we're all being honest this morning. Procrastination is, it's a real problem, but what makes it a real problem is because it's a real problem for us sometimes. I remember when and for like 95 or more percent of college students, procrastination is an issue. I was thinking about procrastination. I immediately was reminded of some college projects that I needed to do. And it was a full semester. It was a project that required a lot of time to complete, and they give it to you at the beginning, and they give you all of the warnings at the beginning of the semester. You better start on this soon, because if you put it off, you're going to be in big trouble. And so being a good Bible college student preparing for the ministry, I put it off until the week that it was due. And it was a long project. It was a big job, so I started working on it. And I thought, oh, I can do it. I'll just put extra time into it, you know. And after 2 days of no sleep, all-nighters, I figured out this was a bad idea. And praise the Lord. I don't know if the Lord should get glory for this or not. But I finished the project, passed the class. It was a miracle. So it worked out. I'm not sure if it went through a grammar check that very many of the, I would have had a lot of problems with it that way, but, I'm thankful that at least I made it through it. So in continuing on with my thinking about procrastination, I was reminded also that while I was in college, I didn't have any money. And so that's a common problem for college students. And so low on the priority scale is going to the dentist. Now, some people, going to the dentist is low on the priority scale anyway, because who likes to go to the dentist? I mean, we do. Hopefully you go, but nobody likes going that I know. And something's really wrong with them if they like going to the dentist, I think. But anyway, but in college, I couldn't afford to go to the dentist. And so it was low on the priority list. And I did, before you get grossed out, I did brush my teeth and I did take care of things as well as I could, you know, that way. But I still ate sugary things. And so I didn't know this, but I had developing in my back molars, I had cavities developing. And eventually when I got out of college or getting close to getting out of college, I realized that I had some problems back there and I needed to go get it taken care of. But I kept putting it off. I kept saying, oh, well, you know, I can't really afford it right now, so I'm going to go get it taken care of later. And I put it off and I put it off and I put it off until it became very uncomfortable just to drink any liquid, hot or cold, any foods, you know. It was really uncomfortable because of that back molar was causing me real problems in that cavity. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go to the dentist, get it taken care of, and then we'll be fine after that. The problem was is I had went so long that the cavity had eaten all the way to the root of my tooth. And so I didn't know that. The dentist didn't know that. But when they cleaned it out, he actually hit the nerve in that tooth. He didn't know that he hit the nerve. And I hadn't been in the dentist for so long that when that strike and that electricity just jolted through my body, I didn't really at that moment realize what had happened. I didn't know that he had hit the nerve. But he filled it in, and I just went on with my day. And like 2 days later, I started to feel pain that you could, if you can believe it, pain in a little tooth cause you to not even be able to get up and walk around. I mean, you can't close your mouth, you can't touch it with your tongue, and if you breathe through your mouth and air touched it, that hurt. So, you know, I had procrastinated going to the dentist, getting that cavity taken care of, and then here's what happened. When I went to get it taken care of, I lost the tooth. And so it was, you know, it was a bummer. Now, I told you that because the imminence of your life and the fact that in our physical lives that death is coming is a reality. And what I mean by that is someday all of us are going to die. Now, we don't know when that's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. And the reality of death is one of those things that we don't like to think about. We don't want to talk about it. And it's also one of the things that we don't deal with being prepared for it. And so being prepared for death kind of transfers to a spiritual realm. Understanding that you're going to die means you also need to bear with the reality of our soul and where is our soul going to go when we die. And so thinking about that and just trying to reason through what's going to happen when I die is not comfortable, and so people put it off. They don't want to talk about it. And because they're putting it off, they're making no effort to get things right with God. They're making no effort to listen to what God might want to speak to their hearts about. They're not making any efforts. They're not wanting to think about it, so they're putting it off. Now, death isn't a pleasant topic. The loss of a loved one isn't a pleasant thought. And sometimes it's necessary to talk about it because somebody is on their deathbed. And we've had a family member, we've had a friend, and they found out they had cancer, or they found out they had some terminal disease, or they'd been in an accident, or, you know, just there's various reasons people are on their deathbed and death is approaching. And they've even been warned. Sometimes we've been warned, you better be careful, you better watch out, you better take care of some things, because before you know it, you're going to be dying. You're on a fast track to dying. And even in those times, when people have been warned of the imminence of death, they still don't want to talk about it. They still don't want to deal with issues. They don't want to talk about their need of life insurance. Well, at that point, it would be too late. But life insurance is not one of the things we want to talk about. Taking care of of your family, or putting together a will for a lot of people is an uncomfortable task, and so they don't want to do that. They don't want to talk about, you know, the funeral arrangements. They don't want to talk about anything that has to do with, you know, death, because it's too much to bear, and so they would rather procrastinate the thought. They would rather put it off and not think about it. But part of the process, you and I know, is planning, right? Spiritually planning, not just physically planning for our death and taking care of the physical side, but planning for our spiritual death, understanding that although we understand intellectually that one day we're going to die, we need to, you know, prepare ourselves for death in the sense that we have peace with God. And whenever that day comes, understanding the reality, listen, of death and hell, and thinking about death and hell and being prepared for that reality, dealing with it by making or having peace with God, that's a hard pill to swallow too. And so people don't just want to talk about death in the sense that I'm prepared for it by having a will and things are prepared that way. People are not wanting to talk about death in the spiritual sense and not wanting to deal with what's going to happen when I die spiritually. And so there's a lot that needs to be dealt with, and people don't want to deal with it, so they just put it off. And it might be that this morning that's where some of you are. And frankly, the topic of dealing with death and where you're going to go when you die, it's not a pleasant thing, and so you've been putting it off, not dealing with it. The Jews didn't understand how urgent their need for salvation was in this text. They love to argue with Jesus. They love to, have that debate back and forth, but they weren't willing to submit to him. They had problems, and as a matter of fact, they looked for problems in his doctrine, but they didn't have any plans to turn their hearts to the truth that he taught. They had these, you know, these conflicts with Jesus, but here's what Jesus wants them to know, that they're now in danger of being lost because they've put it off. I want you to remember with me that Jesus had just, in the previous text, predicted his death. He said that he would be lifted up. Remember that? Lifted up on the cross. And he's issuing a warning there, telling his disciples and the Jews and anyone that would have been in earshot of his message that that he was going to soon be killed. He would be soon put to death. And so that should have caused them to realize something. That they're running out of time. But instead, the Jews were still more interested in arguing than listening to such a message. Look at verse 34. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And so Jesus had referred to himself as the Son of Man. It was in verse number 23 of our chapter. But the Jews, they saw that claim as a messianic claim, meaning that they saw what Jesus had said as a claim that he was the king. And so putting the variables together, that what Jesus had been saying and what they had already known about the Old Testament, putting those two things together, they assumed that Jesus would, if he's the Messiah, set up his kingdom forever, meaning that he would be the king, and he would be an everlasting king, and he would overrule and overthrow the Roman government, not that he would be killed by the Romans. And so Psalm 72:17 says, "His name shall endure forever." They would have seen verses like that and assumed Jesus would not die, but that he would live on. And that just simply means he wasn't getting it, or these Jews weren't getting it. And sometimes it's like that for you and for me. Sometimes God wants to get through to you. He wants you to listen to the message, but he's not getting through because you're not opening your heart to what he wants to tell you, what he wants to show you about yourself, about your need. You know, those that come to the altar, listen, those that get saved are the people who have hearts that are open. If your heart is closed and your heart is hard and you're not listening to the message of God as he's trying to break through to you, all you're going to find is the problems, the errors, and the things that irritate about the message. You're going to look for the problems because your heart isn't open. But those that get saved, those who humble themselves and turn their hearts to Christ and have an eternal hope are those that have an open heart, and he can touch you and he can draw you and he can tell you your need. And that wasn't these Jews. He is trying to get across to them that your time is limited. You don't have a lot of time. And if you don't get things right with God, you're going to be lost. But they're not getting it. And so it wasn't really urgent for them. I'll just deal with that later. You know. They really struggled to understand how the Messiah could die. And he was supposed to set up his kingdom. How could he die? If his kingdom is supposed to be everlasting, how can he die? But here's the problem. They didn't understand why he came. Jesus had been telling them over and over that the reason he came was to save the lost. And to save the lost, it would require dying to pay that penalty. The penalty that the lost owe. But they didn't understand that. Why? Because they were lost. Do you know why people can sit through church and not get under conviction about it, about what their need is? Listen to me. Let me have everyone's eyes, even kids, look up here. Look up here. Do you know how you can sit through church and not get things right with God when you need to? Because you're in darkness. It's the only way people can sit through church and hear God, know what you need to do, and not do it. You don't understand how urgent it is. You don't know where you're really going. It's the only way you're not dealing with it. In our text, Jesus desperately wants these Jews to open their eyes to see his purposes. To open their eyes to see where they're headed. But they didn't understand. They didn't know that they would be eternally lost in darkness. Did you hear that word, eternally? Why? Because the light would soon be gone. And when that happened, when the light's gone, then they would be hopelessly lost. Look at verse 35. Jesus said unto them, what are the next four words there? Yet a what? Little while? I mean, he's warning them that time is getting close to the end here. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, what's those next two words? Knoweth not whither he goeth. Those words knoweth not mean that he cannot see where he is going. He can't see. So I was on the interstate, and this was years ago, and I'll never forget it. And it, you know, it's one of those kind of memories, you know. But I'm driving down the interstate, it's night out, and while I'm going down the road, for some reason, I think I was going to turn the windshield wipers on, and I turned the headlights off. And it was on the interstate, and there was no street lights. And I'm doing like 75. And it's total darkness. And terror strikes you when you do something like that, even as an accident. And I scrambled as quickly as I could and turned those lights back on. And it was just a few seconds. But the fear struck me intensely. Driving in the nighttime with no lights, it's a fearful thing. You could run off the road. You can run into an animal potential. You could run into, there's a host of things you can run into whenever you're driving in the night. And that's the imagery of this scenario that Jesus has brought up. These Jews were traveling on the interstate of life without headlights, going about 100 miles an hour. And maybe they think they know where they're going. Oh, I'm not worried about it a bit. I know right where I'm going. But the problem is they're traveling in darkness. And Jesus declared that they had no idea where they're going. And that's the idea. The idea here is that when you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you're going. Let me have your attention this morning, those of you who are lost. What do you mean lost? I mean, those of you who are in here this morning, and if you die, if you split, if your heart stopped beating and your body hit the ground, where would your soul go? And you say, and you would say this, I don't know where my soul would go, Pastor. In fact, I'm pretty for sure that I'm a sinner, and that, you know, if there was a scale in heaven and the good had to outweigh the bad, I think that my bad is more than my good, so I think that I would go to hell. By the way, a lot of people think that way, but that's not how it works. If you're a sinner at all, you're destined for hell. You're condemned already. You're already judged. Matthew chapter 3 says that. And so if you were to die today, listen, and your body hit the ground, and you are lost this morning, meaning your soul would be eternally condemned and cast into the lake of fire forever, and you knew that, why would you not get it settled this morning? Why would you not come to the altar and get saved this morning? Why would you not do it? Here's the reason why. Is because you don't see it. You don't really know yet. It hasn't really become a serious reality. It hasn't become urgent for you yet. That's the warning Jesus is giving here. The scenario of the dark of being in darkness is for the lost to understand that one day you're going to die. And if you're lost, you're going to be eternally in darkness, eternally separated from God, eternally in the lake of fire. That's your destiny. But you know, it's interesting. I could preach that message, and I have, and I do preach that message pretty consistently. But yet people still don't get saved. Who need to? Why? Procrastination. You're putting it off. For whatever reason. If you know you need to be saved and you don't make it to the altar, there's only one reason why. You think you still have time. Oh, Pastor, I'll do that tomorrow. And Pastor, I'll do that next week. I'll get it taken care of next week. You know what? Just give me some time. I need to let things simmer, you know, and work on me in there for a little while. And then, you know, in a couple of months, maybe I'll get it settled. Here's what Jesus wants to get across to you this morning. You have a whole lot less time than you think you do. Yeah. Jesus' time was drawing close to an end on the earth. But the point that he's trying to make extends beyond his earthly life. That the life that you and I are living, walking through this life in darkness, not knowing where we're going, not understanding where our destiny is and the destruction that awaits us, but also, and probably more sad than any of that reality, is the fact that you think you still have tomorrow. You think that you can get this settled later, and you'll be just fine. Well, it's worked for me so far. Jesus is saying, but the end is sooner than you know. It's sooner than you realize. You know, I think about people who are members of our church. What do you mean? People who claim salvation and either have already been baptized, and so baptized in a church of like faith, and they join our church, praise the Lord, and we're going to move forward. I have no reason to assume that you're not really saved. I have no reason to assume that. I do not, let me emphasize this, I do not assume to know whether somebody's saved or lost. I never do that. I never say, they're lost, they're saved. How can I know that? But you know, it could be that you're saved, or you've claimed to be saved, and you're a member of this church, but along the way, God started convicting you that you never really got saved. It never really was in there. You just said some words. Now, I'm not going to say that that's true for you, but God might say something like that to you. And maybe there's the thought in there, well, you know, I don't want to go and stand up in front of everybody and you know, actually get saved. Everybody thinks I'm already saved, so I'm just going to wait and do that later. I'm just going to wait a little while and take care of that in a few weeks or in a month or maybe in a few years, you know, because I have plenty of time. Jesus is saying, you don't have as much time as you think you have. Your time's running out. You could put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off, but eventually, and sooner than you know, you're not going to be able to put it off anymore because it's done. Time is up. So he's calling those who have already claimed to be saved, but you know you're not. Because it wasn't in here, it was just the words, you know. I'm proud. I'm sure Brother Marvin's watching this morning, and I'm also sure he wouldn't mind for me to say this, but Brother Marvin was baptized at this church in 1980, which is probably, for more than half of us in here, before we were born. Thankfully, I can't say that. I mean, it was the same year I was born, so, you know. But he was baptized. And then, in, I think it would have been like the first week of January, right here, Brother Marvin got saved. How does that happen? It happens whenever somebody takes religious steps and goes through the motions, but they never had a reality on the inside. And who's the one who convinces you of that? The pastor? Nope. God is the one who talks to you and tells you you need to be saved. If you procrastinate and you wait and wait and wait, it doesn't matter if you're a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. When time's up, you're lost. So why wouldn't you come and get it settled if that's you this morning? Why not? Because you don't really know where you're going. You don't see it. You're in darkness. You think you can do it tomorrow. It might be this morning that there are some folks that are here, you're lost, and you've never made a profession of faith, and you're pretty for sure everything that you've ever done religiously has just been ceremonies. Like, you know, I went to church, and I did this, and I got baptized, and, you know, all these religious ceremonies maybe that we've done, or maybe not. But it could be this morning that you're lost and you know you're lost. What would keep you from coming up here and getting saved? I'll do it tomorrow. Do you know why you would say that and then do that or try to do that? It's because you don't really know where you're going. You're in darkness. And here's something else you don't know. You don't know how soon it is. It's sooner than you think. Yeah. You know what's interesting is that you think about the loss, and our emphasis this morning has been, I believe, the same emphasis as Jesus. Jesus wants these lost Jews to be saved. I mean, they're in darkness. He wants them to see. He wants them to be warned that your time, I'm just here for a little while. And when I'm gone, I am gone. And your time is up. It's over. No more chances once the time's up. And that's true for the lost, but what about saved people? What about people who really are already saved? You remember the day whenever he convicted your heart? You remember the day when you knew you needed to be saved? And sometime after that, maybe the same day or maybe a week later, you were under conviction and you knew you needed to be saved. And when you'd hear the sermon, your heart would pound because God's speaking to you and telling you you need to be saved, and that kind of thing has happened. And you turned your heart to him, and you remember the day you turned your heart to Christ. What else do we need to do to be saved? If he spoke to your heart and he told you you needed to be saved and you turned your heart to him in response to his call, what else do we need to do to be saved? Nothing else. You're saved. You were saved at that moment. But does that mean that you and I haven't procrastinated some things? We're saved. Praise God. Woo! That was the one, you know. I just want to know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't really care about anything else. And so maybe we know we're saved. Maybe this morning you know you're saved, but the urgency of getting the gospel to this world isn't there with you. And you think about your neighbors, your next door neighbor, and the fact that they're lost, potentially. And the fact they need Jesus Christ. And their best hope of getting Jesus Christ is you. And God speaks to us about it. But we just put it off. Why would we do that? Why would we put it off? Talking to our family, talking to our neighbors, talking to our coworkers. Hey, talking to the people that we have we do things socially with. Why would we put it off? You don't really realize how soon it is that this is all going to be over, friends. And so we could be saved, but yet still in darkness, in a sense. But we don't let ourselves realize that there's urgency here. And we're running out of time. I mean, it's sooner than you and I know. You know, I was driving to church this morning. I was down the street. And I remember, just down at the end of the road, and I remembered some things that I remembered the details of some specific things I did when I was 20 years old. In Bible college, as a matter of fact, it was the very first time One of the very first times I played the guitar for a special. I was just learning the guitar. And so it was one of the first times I'm doing the guitar. And so I remember the song. And I'm singing through the song, and I'm just thinking, wow, that was 20 years ago. I mean, that was just about 20 years ago. Whoa. Wait a second. That was 20 years ago? It feels like yesterday. Anybody wake up and realize it was 20 years has, like, disappeared? Some of us. A lot of us. What does that mean? It means it's going a lot faster than you know. You're running out of time. There should be urgency there for us to be a witness and a testimony, because whenever this is over, you're not going to have another chance to talk to your family and to your friends and to your neighbors and to your coworkers and to your acquaintances that you do social things with. The time will soon be over, sooner than we know. And so Jesus had warned these Jews that there was a coming judgment, and they would have to turn their heart to Christ before that chance was taken away, because they were lost. They would find themselves, when that time was up, in total darkness. Total darkness. Look at verse 36. While ye have light. You see that? I mean, come on, church. We can't let this go over our head. I mean, he said, while you have light. What's that mean? The light hasn't left yet. We still have some time. It's not over yet. We are running out of time, but it's not over yet. He says, believe in that light that you may be the children of light. And so we need to turn to Christ. If you're lost this morning, you need to turn to Christ before it's too late. You need to open your heart and listen to his call that you might get it settled before it's too late. How long did Noah preach? How long did it take him to build the ark? We know that. How long? 120 years. That means he preached the gospel of salvation for 120 years. And the people he's talking to are people who are going to die in the judgment of the flood. He's saying, you need to get in the ark. You need to get in the ark while the door is open. The door to get into the ark of salvation is open, and it's still open today. But one day it's going to close. And when the door closes, you can't get in the ark. It's all over. Because the flood of judgment's going to come, and your chance is done. And people would listen, possibly, to the message of Noah, and they would say, oh, you know, he's crazy. And you know, as the ark is being built, and after maybe 60 or 70 years of hearing the same message, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe there is a judgment. Oh, well, you know, we still have time. We'll figure it out later, you know. And so another 20 years goes on, and he's building the ark. He's nearing the end of this building, and he's still warning them, you got to get in the ark. If you don't get in the ark, you're going to be lost. And it came to the day, and maybe they said, well, he's got the ark done now. The door is open. I'll get in the ark tomorrow. But then the door closed, and the flood came, and they didn't have tomorrow. It was over. Did you know that whole story of Noah and the ark is a picture of the final judgment that's going to come? Did you know that the ark itself represents Jesus? He is the door unto salvation. And right now, friends, the door is open, but it's not going to be open forever. One day it's going to close. And you know that one day? It's sooner than you know. There's urgency here. If you put it off, you'll be lost forever. You know what's neat about that verse? Look at it again with me, 36. Please follow this. While you have light, believe in the light that ye may be, what's the next words there? The children of light. Isn't that a neat phrase, the children of light? That's you if you're saved. You're a child of light. So if you're saved this morning, you're a light. Whoa, really? Yeah. I'm so thankful. I messaged Brother Chad last night, and I said, hey, is it okay if I come over and see Miss Chelsea and Myla? I hadn't seen them in a couple of weeks, and I'm just going to say Myla was happy to see me. She was. When I went in there, and they invited me for supper, so I had a not leftover meal, and it was good. And we fellowshipped, and right before we sat down to eat, Brother Chad said this about Myla. He said, she knows a new song. She knows This Little Light of Mine. And he said, hey, Myla, This Little Light of Mine, show me your light. And she goes like this. You know, I think she's showing off a little bit. You know, she wasn't always doing everything Dad said. She was being a little bit, you know, like, you know how she does when she slaps her head, you know, just showing off some. But she did that light, this little light of mine. That's you. If you're saved this morning, you have a light. As a matter of fact, you don't just have a light. You are the light. You're a child of light. And if you don't shine, this world won't see Jesus. So you got to let it shine. If you hide it under a bushel, people won't see the light. If you let Satan in, he'll take away the effect of the light that's in you. Because we need to let that light shine until Jesus comes. And listen to me, church. He's coming sooner than you think. The time is closer than you know. The time is running out. So whenever I had this tooth worked on, I thought that I could procrastinate and put it off and get it taken care of later. I can't afford it today. I'll get it taken care of later. And that happened for about 5 years. And then when I finally went to the doctor, it was dead. It was lost. It was over. That's you and me. If you're lost this morning, the time is sooner than you know. And if you don't get it settled, you'll be lost forever. If you're saved this morning and you have family and friends, I urge you to take the time to be a light. This time will be over sooner than you know. Father, this morning, we thank you for the, you know, that we, Lord, are so often guilty of procrastinating. I don't want people to feel pressured in a sense from me, but yet, God, at the same time, I do desire that your Spirit would impress on the hearts of those this morning that either need to be saved or need to surrender and get their hearts right with you. And so I pray that you'd work in hearts in a clear way this morning that we might respond in obedience. Please help us. Every head's bowed, every eye.